One of the words that we got, one of the things that happens when we pray for some reason, you know, there are many things that people experience when the Holy Spirit comes. And one of the things that happened on the day of Pentecost was fire came from heaven, right? And the fire came from heaven, and the fire was on each person, and nobody got burned up, right? Their hair didn't catch on fire, but it was a sense of fire. They saw fire. And there are times, and I can't remember when the first time I felt it, but there are times when I pray for people, and I feel this heat start coming on me.
Yes.
And it's just my hands start to get hot, you know? And it's not like I'm, you know, sometimes people break out in a sweat and like, what are you doing? I'm praying for them. And the sweat just starts coming because they're so hot. And so I have felt fire. And when we were in the last line of the day to pray at the end of the seminar, the guy that was praying, Mike, he was the head of the program, Mike Hutchings, and maybe we can get him to come down and speak someday. But he was going down the line praying, and we were about halfway down the line. And he came to Marianne and myself, and he said, wow, I feel this incredible fire here. I haven't felt this fire yet today. He broke out in a sweat just standing right in front of us. And we were like, wow, God's good. And, you know, so there's this fire. And so the word he gave us and our church, which I don't think he's been here. But he said that God is going to send fire on the mountain.
Amen.
He's going to send fire on the mountain. And I believe that. I believe that we are. And it's interesting, the one thing we went to, the name of the actual school, the 3-week school, was called the City on a Hill. Yeah. Well, that's us. Now, we're surrounded by trees. There's only one way to see us. Well, you can see us from two directions. You can see us if you're going on 58 West, and if you get a quick look when you're coming on 58 West, you can sort of see the house, just a tiny top of the house through the trees. But the best look you get is looking up the power line from 220. If you look at the right time, you can see right up the power line and see the house up at the hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's really hard to do because of all the trees. At one time, they logged all the trees off the top of the mountain. You could see the house on top of the hill, and they all replanted it with pine. And you know, that's why we got a lot. There's a couple stands of pine over here. But what I'm saying is that we are a house on the hill. We are a city on the hill, and God is bringing fire here. Now, many times the presence of the Lord comes in the form of fire, either visually or through the feeling of heat when you pray. And I'm telling you this so that when it happens, you pay attention.
Amen.
Because that's a sign that God is starting to work in your life, and it's supposed to get your attention. When the flame was in the burning bush for Moses in the wilderness, God wanted to get his attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
But sometimes we don't pay attention when God speaks to us.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you that fire happens.
Yes, it does. Yes.
Amen. And when it does, pay attention.
Yeah.
Pay attention and ask the Lord, what's going on? Ask him. It's okay to ask the Lord a question.
Amen.
What is this fire all about? What does this fire mean? You want to sit up with me? You can. Come on.
We can ask for fire, too. We can also ask for God to send fire.
And it's okay to ask God to send fire. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay for God to send more fire.
Well, it's interesting you're talking about fire because I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, went to the bank, and the teller was holding her hand in close, and she moved it a little bit and winced, and so I, when she was all done, because I didn't want her to interfere, with her process of transferring money. So, just being real here. So I said, "What's going on with your hand?" And she said, "I don't know. It started about 3 weeks ago, and it's just been getting worse, and I can't." I can't move it at all today. Normally I use my left hand to drive. I couldn't use it to drive today. It's just really bad. I said, well, how bad is it? She says, it's excruciating. I said, can I pray for it? She said, okay. And I said, can I touch it with my hand? She said, yes. So I prayed for her, and I said, do you feel anything different? She says, yeah, I feel heat. In fact, it feels like you put a heating pad on it. I said, Lord, I bless what you're doing. More fire.
Yes, amen.
More fire, Lord. Command this pain to go in Jesus' name. How is it now? It's down to a 4 out of 10. It was 10. I said, Lord, I bless what you're doing.
More fire.
More fire, Lord. Took it down to a 2. I said, how is it now? She said, I couldn't do this before. It's just a little stiff.
Isn't God good?
Yes.
Yeah, so our scripture for today is Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16. And it's something that you have heard Jesus say many times. Matthew chapter 5, 14 and 15. And Jesus said, you are the fire or the light of the world. Now you have to understand this, right? Back in Jesus' day, the only way to produce light was fire. So you're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be, what is it? Can't be hidden. Our church has been told in very clear words. We personally, and our church has been told that it is time for the church to no longer be hidden. Right. It's time for us to be no longer hidden. It's time for the church to be seen and to be heard, and that the fire that's here needs to go out. I believe that the enemy has tried to limit this church to the hill only, so that we only have the presence of God here, and where people come and they come here and they go, wow, the Lord is here. I didn't know about this place. How many of you have heard that? I cannot tell you how many times I've heard about this church said it when they actually get here. So when they get here, they experience it. They know what God is doing. But out there is a different story. Either they don't know about it or they know lies. That is going to change.
Amen.
That is going to change. Do you believe that? That's going to change. That is going to change. This place is no longer going to be a hidden place. This place is going to have its light shine, and it is no longer going to be stuck. Now, the Lord had given me some words early on. It's time to get out of the wilderness. There's been a season of wilderness that God has put us through, and there are times when it is okay to be in the wilderness. But you don't stay in the wilderness. You don't stay there. God wants us to get out of the wilderness and to be seen. Now, the way that you have light on the top of the mountain is through fire. So I'm going to take us through a story in the Old Testament in Genesis 22, where God told Abraham to light a fire on the mountain. All right, so would you turn in your Bibles to Genesis 22, fire on the mountain. And for the light to shine, you have to light a fire. You got to have the fire to light, you know, for the city on a hill. The reason why you see a city on top of a hill is because the dwelling places have fire inside at nighttime. And the thing about a fire that's so interesting is, this is what I love. It doesn't matter whether it's day or night. During the day, if there's a fire somewhere in Henry County, you know the way it is with the mountains around here, You know where it is. What do you see? Smoke. So during the day, you're going to see smoke. And at nighttime, you're going to see light coming from somewhere that it normally doesn't come. Someone's got a fire lit somewhere. So the wonderful thing about fire is that you can see it no matter what time of day it is. If it's dark outside, you see the light. If it's light outside, you see the smoke. But you're going to see it no matter what time. You're going to see that fire. God has a fire here, and people are going to see it. Either they're going to see the smoke or they're going to see the flame, but they're going to see one or the other. I believe that God wants us to do that. Now, we're going to talk about this fire of sacrifice, and it's in Genesis 22. And God, I believe that Abraham was the first person to light the fire on the mountain. And then we know who finished it. All right, so we're starting from verse 1. Sometime later, God said to Abraham, tested him, and he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey, took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out to the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Anytime you see third day, think Jesus. Just think Jesus and the cross. And this is the sacrifice that is a picture. Take your son, your only son. Hey, have you got your attention now? Do you realize that this story isn't really about Abraham? It's really about Jesus. And it's the Father that's going to offer up a sacrifice on the mountain. So we have a mandate of offering a sacrifice, and the fire is the means to offer it with. So it's by fire that this sacrifice is offering, and that sacrifice has to do with worship. God said, I want you to go. Now look, I'm going to keep reading. It says, the third day Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. We'll worship, then we're coming back. So when you offer up the fire of sacrifice and you worship, it's something that you're going to do and come back. You're going to move on, and you're going to not just stay up on the mountain. Now, we have the mandate of worship. When God tells us to sacrifice, it's because he's God and we are his people, and that everything that God gives us is a gift. And we owe him everything. Now, why did Abraham obey God when God said, offer up your son? Take your son and offer up the sacrifice. Because he got his son as a gift from God, right? Isaac was given to him by God. And we have to see in our lives that no matter what we have, no matter how precious it is to us, where did it come from? And if he tells us whatever he tells to do with whatever God gives us, we just do it. Amen. That's the test. What are you going to do with what God gives you? Well, what has God given you? Everything. Everything. And that's where worship really comes down to it. Worship comes because we're willing to give God everything. Because everything has been given to us. Everything. Our breath came from God. The fact that you're drawing a breath today is a gift from God. Some people know that, right? Some people really know that. It's not just a saying, it's true. The fact that we're here today, and it's a gift. And there were three things. I want you to see the three things in this offering. Okay? Verse 6. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering. He carried the fire and he carried the knife. And then they went up together. The wood, the fire, and the knife. I'm going to talk about the wood first. Now, I know that this is not real hermeneutical, okay? All right, whatever that means. Yeah, okay, good. You're right with me. Praise God. I want you to see the wood as your will. Because what you would do is what you will do. Get it? Would, will. The most important thing, and really the only thing that God wants from you, is your willingness. You know, the soul, we're taught many times that the soul is made of three parts. Your mind, your emotions, and your will. God wants your will. If he gets your will, he's got everything else. Some people give him their mind, but they don't do. They believe the right things. They may even say the right things, but they don't do the stuff that God wants them to do. How many of you have been there? I've been there. Come on, that's my address you're preaching at, Pastor John. Where I thought good things, but I didn't do the right things. My will was not lined up to the will of God. But my mind was thinking, oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I believe he's the Son of God. But then I go out and do stupid stuff because my will is stubborn. And people just do what they're going to do. Quote a New Yorker, right? They just do it because they want to do it. So people will tell you one thing and then they go do another thing, right? God wants your wood, your will, emotions. I've seen people be touched with emotions for God. I've seen God make somebody very happy. I've seen God make people, they just love God. They got all kinds of ooey-gooey feelings for God. But then guess what happens? If they don't have your will, when the feelings die, you don't do anything. Well, Lord, I don't feel like worshiping you today. Well, will you do it? Would you do it? Your wood needs to be set on fire. Well, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to do what you want me to do. Give me your will and I'll deal with your emotions. Give me your will and I'll help you figure it out. Do you realize that most of the time God wants you to obey him, he won't explain to you why? Do you realize that the worst thing you can do, parents, for your kids is tell them why you want them to obey you? You know what the best answer is when they ask you why? Because I said so. I'm telling you the truth. Y'all listen to me on this, okay? I'm sorry. I'm not picking on you guys because I'm not saying it's not this is not corrective. You got it? It's not corrective. I'm not telling you, I'm not trying to correct anybody. Okay, got that? All right. The moment you explain why, you invite criticism.
That's right.
Yeah, that is right? Because then someone's going to think, wait a minute, I can figure out something different. So the best thing to do is do it. It's because I said so. So why are we going to do this? Because he is God and he says so.
That's right. That's right.
I don't need to get it, and I don't need to feel it. I just need to do it. I want my wood on fire. Do you want your wood on fire? Say amen. Come on now. I want my wood. I want to do the will of God. I delight in doing your will. Isn't that the new covenant?
Yes.
Is delighting in doing the will of God? Well, our will has to do with what he wants us to do. Do we have to understand everything before we do it? No. Parents, if you had to explain everything you wanted your child to do before they did it, you would never get any sleep. You'd be arguing all day long. It's the same way with God. Listen, if God told Paul, go to the house of Ananias, did he explain to Paul what he, you know? No. Go. Go there. All right. When he knocked Paul off the horse, did he explain why he did that? No, he just said, what do you want, Lord? He didn't argue with him. Why? Because God didn't explain anything. He just said, go there. I've got a job for you to do. See ya. Bye. Do it. So God wants us to put our wood on fire. Now, the fire represents the Holy Spirit's empowering. You got to have, come on now, you got to have the fire to put your will on fire with the Holy Spirit. Listen, I don't want to do the will of God unless the Holy Spirit helps me. I'm telling you, I thought I wanted to do the will of God. But it's when the Holy Spirit comes, you just want to do what God wants you to do. And you don't care. You're just so in love with him. You're just going to do it. So the fire is the Holy Spirit. And the knife is the sword of the word. You got to have all three things to be a fiery church. You got to have the will, a determination. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. You got to get that wood on fire and you got to grab the knife because it's the knife of the word. When, you know, the word of God really comes, it's just like, it just cuts right down to the, it just hits you and you're like, okay, I get it now. And God will tell you stuff. I want to share something with you about this thing. When Abraham went to worship and to light that fire, many times we don't realize how much of a sacrifice God is really asking of us when we do it. I really feel like that when it comes to the light on the hill, and being a city that's shining brightly, it really is all about us. I want to say it like that. It really basically boils down to you. And if we want to see God move, we got to deal with this right here. You hear what I'm saying? It's not like, well, you know, if Pastor John did this, or if so-and-so did this better, or if this happened, or if we hired, I mean, you hear what I'm saying? It is not that way. It is about you. And we need to make the issue, are you going to do what God wants you to do or not? That's what always boils down to it. And I it's one thing that when you're able to get away a little bit and slow down, God can kind of get your attention to like the important stuff, which is like what you're doing. You hear what I'm saying? We can get so easily distracted with everything outside that we miss out on what really needs to happen here. And I'm not talking about being introspective. I'm talking about seeing ourselves the way God sees us. So that means we stop making excuses and we stop blaming. Okay? We just stop making excuses for things. And I'm going to share with you some ways that we just need to say, are we going to do this or not? And there's not going to be an excuse for it. And we're not going to blame somebody else for not doing it. You hear what I'm saying?
Yep.
Either it's about what us, between us and God, or it's nothing. You know, so if we don't do what God says, there's only one person you got to look at.
Right.
It's you.
That's right.
I mean, it's just we got to get that way with God and with each other. We love each other because God really cares about us. He really, really, really loves us. And his motivation is love. But we have to understand that it's between us and him. It's he loves us that much that he's not going to let us fool ourselves. Does that make sense?
Yes.
He just doesn't want to let us be in this thing. So we sacrifice things that we know about and everybody else knows about. They talk about it, but we don't talk about it. But we know. And then we sacrifice things that others see and talk about, but we don't see. And then we sacrifice things that no one but God and us see. There are things in my life that just me and God know about that need to be put on the altar. and we got to just do it. Then there are things that God sees that we haven't seen yet.
Amen.
No one's seen yet. God's seen it and he'll bring it to us. I remember one of my times when I was spending with the Lord says, I want you to begin to see reality like the way I see it. Because I want to set you free from fear.
Amen.
And I was like, Lord, I didn't know I was afraid. Well, you are.
Amen.
When God says things like that to you, we need to ask him, well, what do you mean, Lord?
Amen.
I shared that with Marianne. She goes, what do you mean fear? You know, you seem like so fearless. But the Lord, no, the Lord was talking to me. He was talking to me about something, and I need to hear what he meant.
Right.
So we need to be willing to go to that place where God can talk to us about things that we haven't seen yet.
Right.
Whether other people see it or not, we need to take care of it.
Right.
And what the Lord wanted me to see is he wanted to be much more aware of angelic presence and much more aware of what's happening in heaven while I'm going about my day. Now, Jesus said, I'm with you always, right? Now, did he really mean that or not? Was it just like a metaphor, like, you know, like I'm with you in my thoughts? Someone say no again, please, like you mean it. How many of you would like? How many of you would feel like you'd really be saved if Jesus says, oh, I'm just with you in my thoughts? Come on now. He said, I'm with you always. He's the only one that can say that. He's not just like saying a prayer for us. He's with us right here. So if he's with us, why can't we see him? Why don't we see him with us? Just a thought. Yeah. How is it, Lord, that you'll manifest yourself to us and not the world? I mean, they went through these questions. We need to go through these questions. And so the Lord was saying to me, he said, you need to see me more. And not be so distracted by everything else going around you because it's driving fear in you. And how many of you know that if you've got Jesus with you, you're not afraid? When I grow up, I want to be like Birgit and be fearless. I'm serious. Bold like Janet, fearless like Birgit. Does anybody agree with me?